50th anniversary of Arunachala Ashrama, a center for daily practice is established in New York City. Part 3, continued from the January-February issue. On December 8, 1966, in New York City, for the purpose of incorporating a Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi Center, pursuant to Article 10 of the Religious Corporation Law, Arunachala Ashrama was incorporated in the state of New York. Article 18 of the bylaws reads, "The purpose of the center shall be to provide an educational and spiritual center for the study, pursuit, and practice of the spiritual heritage bequeathed to mankind by the great sage Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi." The first rented space for Arunachala Ashrama was in the East Village of Manhattan at 78 St. Mark's Place near First Avenue. It was just an upstairs room in an apartment building. That is, when Arunachal Bhakta Bhagavat started his daily routine of taking the F train subway from Brooklyn to Manhattan to open the ashram. In the evening, devotees would come for the nightly chanting, meditation and reading of Bhagavan's teachings. A simple meal, usually of rice, dal and potatoes, cooked by Bhagavat himself, would be served after the practice. He would spread a mat on the floor and all would eat sitting around it. Bhagavat always ate like the simple villager he was, with his hands. Openness of heart was a favorite expression of his guilelessness and humility. He would say all the essential qualities of a true aspirant. And he longed for such rare, pure souls who embodied these qualities. One must have an open heart for God to enter. And if it remains closed, even among friends, how can you realize the self or God? He would often ask. Bhagavat would travel any distance at any time of the day or night to benefit from serving and associating with such friends. "I need your company more than you need mine," he would tell us. And he believed it, though we certainly thought otherwise. Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavat provided us the living example of how to gain Bhagavan's grace and attain the purpose of human existence in light of the life and teachings of Sri Ramana Maharishi. Although Bhagavat was such an intelligent man, we really never saw him use his intellect or direct his self-will in making decisions in his life. Inspiration and intuition were the forces that motivated him, and he believed it all came from Arunachala Shiva Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi himself. During this period of the ashrama history, he wrote in his prayer manuscript, "I wander about like a drunken person who does not care what the world thinks of him, as he is oblivious to the physical world in his inebriated state." He placed whomever came to the ashrama on his head, metaphorically, and gave the person full attention, respect and devotion. But if it turned out that people came to deceive, disturb or exploit, he would not hesitate to confront them. He was vigilant to protect the ashram and its devotees from negative and misguided people. He instilled in all who kept company with him the importance of loving, kindness, service, respect and devotion to the ideal manifested in all creation. In 1969, the ashram moved to a rented storefront at 342 East 6th Street in Manhattan, just two blocks south of the first location. This remained the ashram's home for the next 18 years. It was here that I, the editor, first arrived in Bhagavan's American abode in November 1971. Already earlier this same year, John, and Matthew Greenblatt and Evelyn Kaslow had become attached to Bhagavan and the ashrama that Bhagavat had founded. When I first met Bhagavat, I asked him if he was the teacher here, and he said, pointing to Bhagavan's photo on the altar, "He is that old man. He is the teacher, and we practice the teachings." "Do you preach?" I asked. He said, "Yes, we preach, but with the P removed from the word preach. That is, we reach." "Then, what do you do here?" I asked. "You see the entrance door there? Do you see the doormat in front of the door? Bhagavan has made me his doorman and doormat, the servant and servitor in his ashram." He always referred to the ashram as Bhagavan's ashram only. And that same day, he went on to describe Arunachala Ashrama as AAA, Arunachala Abhyasa Ashrama. The ashrama is a place to practice the teachings, not for discourses and discussions. He always emphasized the necessity of daily regular practice of Bhagavan's teachings. Bhagavan has said that those who have succeeded owe their success to perseverance. Bhagavat would tell visitors, "We believe in handwork." Most visitors did not. They wanted some quick and easy way to self-realization. They would be told there are no quick shortcuts. Hard work, discipline, service, intense devotion, perhaps over many years, is required. Many visitors left when they heard this, hoping to find a guru who would give them mukti by a wave of the hand. Much earlier, Bhagavan had come to Bhagavat in a dream and explained to him the technique of abiding in the heart. Describing this to us, Bhagavat would tell us, "Watch where from the breath arises, it is the heart. Watch where from the sound arises, it is the heart. Watch where from the eye arises, it is the heart." Bhakta Bhagavat followed in the tradition of a householder, a married person, yet he was totally devoted to his master and lord, Bhagavan Ramana. He provided a touching example of how this can be harmonized. He had a very simple village wife and one son. His love and attention extended to the devotees and to them equally. He made all feel as members of one family. Bhagavat could never fulfill his wife's wish to own a house and other material possessions common in the West. He had no desire for these things himself, but felt much compassion for her because of this. In her last years, when she had gone blind, I overheard a visitor ask Bhagavat what he did in the ashram. "I serve mother," was his simple reply. I doubt whether the visitor understood what he was talking about, but I knew. As for his son, Bhagavat gave him complete freedom. He believed example was the best form of guidance, and that is what he provided. He once remarked, "In my Indian tradition, it is said that once a son reaches 16 years of age, he then becomes your brother." If asked by his son, he would always advise him properly, and he took him to India to marry. Bhagavat continued to shower love and affection on him, his devoted wife, and wonderful children whom he named. Yet I never heard him say, "my son," but always, "our son." When referring to him, the innocent charm and devotion of his grandchildren gave Bhagavat much happiness. He was always the Baba, and they loved him dearly, and we looked upon them as our children too. They are your family to whom your hearts unite in love and friendship. We all felt like one family, totally protected and guided under the watchful eye of our master and lord, Bhagavan Sri Ramana. continued in the May-June issue.